The book of James was written by James. He was the earthly brother of Jesus. So he was one of the children conceived of both Joseph and Mary. At this time, he was the head of the Church of Jerusalem, the Jewish church, which had been scattered in different sects and the different remnants because of the persecution going on in the Jewish church by the Roman Empire. So one of the main themes, one of the main messages that James tries to hit home to Christ's followers, but to the church which he is leading, is to live out their faith. To live out their faith throughout everything that they're going through, that no matter what happens, to live out their faith. And we're going to be talking about a certain aspect of that today. Before we get into that as well, though, little story. When I was in college, I went to college about an hour and a half south of here in downtown Chicago. Living in downtown Chicago, there's one event in October that takes over the entire city, and that's the Chicago Marathon. It's a big deal. There's a lot of excitement in the city from it. Starting at the beginning of the month, there's many parades, festivals, conventions going on because of this marathon. The week of the marathon, there's thousands upon thousands of extra visitors in the city. And it just caused a lot of excitement. And actually, where I lived at my school, both sides of the road were on the marathon path. So a lot of things focused around us and focused around the marathon and where we lived. So much so that two of my close friends from the group of guys I hung out with decided they were going to run this marathon. They got so pumped about it that they wanted to run the Chicago Marathon. They made this decision back in January when you sign up. So they had 10 months to train, a decent amount of time. My first friend, he got extremely excited about it. He had never really had too much experience with running other than going on a nightly jog, but he was in decent shape, and he knew that if he practiced, if he trained, that he could run this marathon. So he downloaded the workout routines. He downloaded the proper diet. He bought the clothes. He bought the aerodynamic pants and shirt and bright shoes. Got extremely pumped up for this marathon. My second friend kind of did the same thing. You know, he had transferred from a different college where he was a cross-country runner. And so he had a little bit more experience with running. However, still not to the capacity of running a marathon. So he did the same thing. He, you know, bought the clothes, bought the shoes, did the research, got advice from people who had run it before, got the workout routine, got the proper diet. So at the very beginning, these two looked the same in their preparation for this marathon. But as time went on, it looked very different. My first friend, he had every best intention to start training for this marathon the next day. But a month went by, and another month, and another month, and all of a sudden we got to summer break. And as he left, he knew, he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to train for this. I'm going to hit it hard once I get home. I'm going to train for it every day this summer. We get back to school in the fall. We all ask him, we're like, hey, man, did you train? No, I never got around to it. So now we're in August, and still keeps putting off and putting off, and all of a sudden the beginning of September rolls around, and he starts to freak out because he's supposed to run this marathon in a month and a half. And the only training he's done is run a couple miles a few times. So he starts frantically trying to train and make up for this marathon. Second friend, he did the same, like I said, he started off the same way. However, the difference is the very next day he started training for this marathon. He started running, workout routines, changed his entire diet to train his body to withstand that running. Over 10 months, every single day, he followed this strict regimen. And so as you could probably tell, when the time for the marathon came, these two probably had very different results, which we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But for right now, we're going to get back into Scripture. I'm just going to read verses 22 through 25. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, thus deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who intently looks at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So in these four verses, the first thing we see is that we're to be doers and not hearers only. But in order to follow that, the first thing we need to do is realize what is a hearer of the word and what is a doer of the word. Now, contrary to what we might think on the first, a hearer of the word is not someone who is hostile to Christianity. It's not some atheist who would never step foot inside the church, never open a Bible. However, it's someone who might be sitting in the church pews every single Sunday. They might be extremely involved in the church. They might even have time carved out of their day every day to study and read God's Word. However, a hearer is someone who it ends there. They gain all this knowledge. They take up all this knowledge. They learn God's Word. They learn God's truth from reading it, from hearing it. They take it in, but it ends there. A doer is a little bit differently. Now, a doer, just kind of like the runners, at the beginning they share these same qualities. Someone who is listening to teaching at church. Someone who's taking out time on their own to study God's Word. Someone who's meeting with others even to learn God's Word through private Bible study. However, the results look a little bit differently. And we can see that in Matthew 7:24. We kind of see what these different results look like. Jesus is giving a parable here about building a house on a rock where it stands, or sand where it becomes fragile. It says, "Everyone then who hears the word of mine and does them well will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain falls, and the floods come, and the wind blows and beats down on the house, but did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears the words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods come, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall." So we see, those are the different results we get. When you're simply a hearer of the word, it's kind of like building your house on the sand, where it's fragile. And it will stand for a while. On the outside, it looks the same as the house on the rock. So it stands for a little bit. You know, the winds are coming, it's beating down. You know, I've seen this. You know, I grew up in Florida. I grew up seeing hurricanes come in and seeing houses get beat on and beat on and beat down. But it falls because it can't withstand. So a doer, again, the house looks the same on the outside, but because it was built on the rock where it's solid, it withstands. It withstands everything that's thrown against it. And so, therefore, they might look the same at the beginning, but being a doer is different in the action, in the result. Being a doer of the word is someone who takes the word of God, hears it, takes it in, and places it into action. In fact, the first step of doing the word is hearing it. You know, we see here in verse 22, it doesn't say be doers of the word and not hearers of the word. It says be doers of the word and not hearers only. So therefore, the first step is being a hearer. We must be hearers of the word. We must take it in. We must be studying God's word, which we're going to get into in a little bit. You know, when I think of this, I think back to elementary school for me. Now, in elementary school, I wasn't the best student in the world. I truly struggled in school. Out of all things, the thing I struggled the most in was math. I hated math. I hated numbers. They confused me, and I just couldn't do it. Or I thought I couldn't do it. It was really difficult for me. And the worst part of math class was at the end of every section, at the end of every chapter, our teacher would put on the end of the worksheet the dreaded words, word problem. Now, a word problem was taking these numbers, taking these formulas that we had learned, and again, this is, you know, first, second grade, so this is times tables, addition, simple stuff, and placing it into a real-life scenario. At this time, it could have been something simple like, Sally has 6 apples and Billy has 2 apples. If they want to share their apples, how many do they have? You know, so it's something really simple. But I hated it because it was hard enough for me to learn these principles and these formulas. But now you're making me take a step further, and putting it into a word problem was just that much more difficult. And so I dreaded it because it's harder. Just like it's easier to be a hearer of the word. It's easy to sit down and just listen and take things in. The difficulty comes when we have to place it into our life. However, as much as I hate at the time, looking back to my elementary school teachers, I'm thankful they had those word problems there. Because without that, the math I learned was useless. Without those word problems, without learning how they apply to everyday life, the math was useless. You could add numbers and subtract numbers all you want. But if you didn't know how to put them into place, it's not worth it. So like we can hear God's word, we can take in the knowledge, we can hear what he says all we want, but if we don't become a doer of the word, then what's the purpose of it? In fact, there's a man who I There's a theological scholar by the name of Douglas Moo. That's not Douglas Moo. There's a man who says that the only proper response to Scripture is to be a doer of the Word. That is the only proper response. That the Bible is not there, Scripture is not there as a book of our inspirational quotes for the day. It's there so we can do it, not just simply hear it. Like I said, the first step is hearing. At the beginning, James is telling, says, be doers of the Word. So therefore, he is telling us this. He's not just advising it. He's not just saying, and if you get around to it, once you've achieved a certain level of Christ-likeness, you move on to this. No, this is from the very beginning. It says, be doers of the Word. It's a command. So, as we establish what a hearer of the Word is, what a doer of the Word is, James then goes on to give us some consequences of solely being a hearer of the Word. Now, when I say consequences, I don't mean a consequence as in punishing a small child for their actions. What I do mean is the negative result that is coming from only being a hearer of the Word. Or the result of only being a hearer of the Word, which will always be negative. Still in the first verse, still in verse 22, it says, but doers of the Word and not hearers only, thus deceiving yourselves. So the first consequence is we begin to deceive ourselves. Now, sometimes as Christians, we become very good at this. If we try hard enough, whether it's a sin issue, whether it's simply hearing the Word, if we try hard enough, we can justify almost anything in our mind and deceive ourselves in it if we truly try hard enough. And thus kind of making our own God, making God what we want Him to be rather than what He is and who He is. So it's very easy to fall into the fact of deceiving ourselves by solely being hearers of the Word. Now is when I meant to bring up that Douglas Moo. A theological scholar by the name of Douglas Moo, who I respect a lot, said a quote, in terms of how the word deceives is used here in verse 22, he defines it as to be blinded to the reality of one's true religious state. So it's to be blinded to the reality of your own true religious state if you are deceiving yourself here. By being hearer of the word, we get blinded to where we really are. And that's where the danger comes in. We're sitting in church, listening to someone preach every Sunday. We're sitting in our weekly Bible study. We're sitting at the coffee table reading Scripture on our own or wherever you do that. And you're taking in just enough truth to deceive yourself that you're okay. You're taking in just enough of God's Word to make it seem like you've done your part, like you've done all that there is to do. But in fact, you're deceiving yourself. And the more time you let this go on, the harder it is to step out of this deception. Because you become more content and more content with solely being a hearer of the Word and just walking out of church or walking out of your time with God, just realizing, okay, good, I feel all good inside now. We deceive ourselves by solely being a hearer of the Word also because we create this illusion in our mind that God's Word is solely there for us. We create this in our mind that we read God's Word to feel better about ourselves. When we're just being a hearer of the Word, we're making it about us. So it's only affecting us if we're solely hearing God's Word. But in fact, God's Word is essentially for Him when we think about it. We think about it, the purpose of God's Word, the purpose of everything God has for us in life, the purpose of everything we do. You've heard Pastor Sal and Pastor Ray say it many times. Any kid in the youth group is probably sick of hearing me say this. But it's to glorify God. Everything in life is to glorify God. Every aspect of it, including reading the Scripture. Including reading God's Word and hearing it. However, when we stop at hearing it, we've deceived ourselves. Because whether we want to admit it or not, we've made it about us. We've made it about us feeling good about ourselves. Because we read God's Word. Because we gave ourselves these warm, fuzzy feelings inside of us. But really, it's meant for us to take action and do it in everyday life to bring God glory through worship and through witness. It's kind of like, if you talk to anyone who struggles with telling lies, with telling elaborate lies, they'll tell you that the key to a good lie is to put just enough truth in there to make it believable. When we solely hear the word, we're putting just enough truth in our minds to make it seem like we're doing what we're supposed to do. So if we see that deceiving ourselves is one of the consequences we find of solely hearing the word, not hearing and doing. We see the second one in verses 23 and 24. James kind of gives us a built-in illustration here. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like." So, we see the second consequence is we forget. Plain and simple, we will forget. If we're not actively applying into our lives, we will forget God's word. And now notice something here in the beginning of this. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word nudge, or he's like a man who intently looks at his natural face in the mirror. Now, as I looked through different translations of the Bible, I noticed the ESV is actually the only one that uses the word intently. Many of the other main translations, solid translations, will just say he's like a man who looks at himself in the mirror. However, when you bring it back, when I begin to research it back to the Greek meaning of it, it truly does indicate an intent look. And what's the purpose of that? Why does that matter so much? Because it shows that he's not just quickly glancing, in this illustration, this man's not quickly glancing at himself in the mirror as he runs out the door. He's intently looking. He's studying himself. You know, if I were to look in the mirror, it wouldn't be just a, sweet, I look good before I walk out the door, run out. But it would be me looking at myself saying, okay, I have blue eyes, I have brown hair, you know, I have this shaped head, I have a beard, I have all these different characteristics. I'm studying myself in the mirror. I'm intently looking at myself. But then it says he goes away and at once he forgets what he was like. So therefore, one who's intently looking at his face in the mirror is kind of, James is pointing it back to someone who's also intently reading the Word of God. You know, kind of going back to the first thing of what a hearer may be. It could be someone who's not just going to church who could be going to the church with the best intentions. Someone who is reading God's Word with the best intentions, truly searching for the meaning of it. Someone who's studying it. But then if he's not applying into his life, he walks out the door and at once forgets what he was like. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Now, it sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Of course, if I'm sitting there studying my face in the mirror and walk out the door, of course 2 seconds later, in your mind, you're saying, I'm going to remember what I'm like. However, with the Word of God, we have the same thing. We're like, of course I'll remember it. Of course I'll remember it. You know, I took notes. Of course I'll remember it. You know, I'm not knocking taking notes. It's a great way to remember it. Because like I said, these are the first step in hearing, you know. However, it's kind of like the old saying, if we're not going to use it, we're going to lose it. Think of anyone who goes overseas. You know, I've gone on a few missions trips. I've gone to Russia a few times. I've gone to the Czech Republic once. Before I've left for those trips, I try to study the language a good bit. I try to familiarize myself with it. Try and at least have a few words so I don't look like a complete fool when I try to communicate. I can vaguely know some of the basic vocabulary of that language. And then I find as I go to those places, I was immersing myself in the Russian culture for 2 weeks. I was immersing myself in the Czech culture. And so I began to learn more. I'm hearing it more than I'm hearing English. I pick up more words and more words and more words. Now granted, I become nowhere near fluent, but I become a little impressed with myself with how much of the vocabulary I picked up over 2 weeks. And the one thing though is as I go home, a couple weeks go by, a month goes by, and I can barely tell you any of those words anymore. I can barely give you any of them. I can give you hello, goodbye, maybe a couple numbers, but that's about it. Because I've no longer immersed myself in their culture and their language. I've immersed myself back in the American culture and the English language. And so therefore, I forgot. I forgot what I learned. And just that quick, short amount of time. And it's the same way of Scripture. That's why we see ourselves. That's why you see people memorizing Scripture. That's why you see people putting on their mirrors in their cars, on their desks, putting things on their wall that have scripture. It's not, well, it could be, but overall it's not to, again, have this feel-good moment and quick thought of inspiration as you walk by. It's remembrance to act upon it, to live up to that, and for your life to resemble what Scripture says. We need to constantly be remembering, because even though we think, okay, I'll remember, the only way to truly remember something is to immerse yourself in it. The only way to truly remember God's Word is to act upon it. To everything that goes through your mind, be going through the lens of your faith. Everything you do, be based upon what God's Word says. And therefore, you will act upon it. We need to be acting upon it, or else we will not remember it. Eventually, we will forget it, and we will forget our standing in it. So we've realized what a hearer of the Word is. We've realized what a doer of the Word is. And we've seen what becomes when we solely become hearers of the Word. And there's many other things we could see. However, this is just what James says here. I mean, we also see how firm and how fragile our faith becomes through the parable Christ gives in the book of Matthew. You know, that we need to build our house on the rock and on the sand. But the thing we need to realize now is, how do we make this transition? How do we make our transition from solely being a hearer of the Word to being a hearer as well as a doer? To placing our faith in action. That's what James talks about in verse 25. He gives us a few ways. One we've talked about a little bit, but we're going to go even further into it. He says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all of his doing." So, we must look into God's Word, as we've said. If anything, I hope you have not gotten that out downplaying us hearing and reading and studying God's Word. Because, yes, I've emphasized that it should not be the only thing we do with God's Word. However, it is the first step. It's the first step in doing. You know, when we don't hear and intently read and study God's Word, it's not finishing the task. You know, we need not view this. You know, so therefore, this is not a storybook. This is not a rule book. It's God's inspired Word to us. I heard it said to me once, and I really liked it. Viewing God's Word, it's kind of like a soldier in a letter. You think back times before technology, you know, a soldier in World War I or World War II, their only way to keep in touch with those back home was through letter. You think of a soldier who gets a letter from his wife. He reads that letter. He reads it over and over and over again. He grasps onto every single word. He takes into it. He takes to heart. He saves it so he can go over it again later and study it later, and holds on to every word and holds on to everything as truth in that letter. And that's similar to the way we should be viewing God's Word. Studying every single word, holding on to it, holding it in our hearts, reading it over and over and over again, and not letting it go. Look at it. Pray over it. And we need to be looking at ways actively as we read, praying through it, to apply into our lives. See 2 Timothy 3:16. I don't have that one on the board, but it's okay. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work." So we see there that in order to start showing us in ways, some of the ways we place God's Word into action, however, that requires studying and intently looking at God's Word. We need to be praying as we read, not just praying beforehand, "God, bless this time as I read your Word." Yes, we should be doing that. But be praying as you read for the Holy Spirit in your life to convict you of what you need to know. Convict you of ways to apply it into your life. Because Scripture, whenever you read Scripture, every passage has one sole meaning. You know, it's not what does it mean to you and what does it mean to me. It's what does it mean by the author who was inspired by God to write it. There's one meaning. However, there are multiple applications that we can get from that meaning. There's multiple ways that God can show us in our life in multiple areas to apply that message and to apply that principle in our life. And we need to be very prayerfully going over that and studying it and studying every word of it. I mean, you've seen just in how we've been going through this, how one single word has changed the meaning. How I was saying earlier, how it's be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We can't read that. If you didn't put that word only in there, it would have a completely different meaning to it. So if we don't have that word, he forgets at once, forgets what he looks like. If that at once wasn't in there, it would have a slightly different meaning to it. We need to be truly studying every aspect of Scripture with a prayerful mentality, searching for application in our life. And so as we study it, we need to actually apply it, not just look for application. We need to apply the application. If you're trying to treat an illness with medication, you first have to do the study on what medication you need. You have to learn how to apply it. You know, are you swallowing it? Are you chewing it? Are you putting it on your skin? Is it some kind of moisturizer? Different, you need to learn how to apply it. However, once you've done those things, it doesn't do you much good if it just sits on the shelf. You have to intake it. You have to utilize it now. You have to place that into action of what you do. So we have to go throughout our day and continue as we go throughout our day to study and think about this and apply it. And that kind of leads us into the second way we make this transition from being a hearer of the word to a doer of the word. And that's perseverance. It's shown in just one simple word there. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who does. Perseverance. Now, think of this word perseverance in the context of what this letter was written. It was written to the Jewish church who was under some immense persecution at the time for what they believed. So perseverance was key. However, it was key then, but it's also very key now. We must persevere. This is not a one-and-done thing. This isn't, okay, I applied this principle into my life, God's principle into my life once, and so I'm done, I'm good. It's there forever. No, it's a continual thing. It's a continual thing that we need to be reading and studying and applying and going through that process, reading, studying, apply. We see this in Psalms 1. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in a seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Let me clarify something here. Sometimes in the Christian church, the word meditate can kind of be a negative buzzword because of the way our culture has made it. Our culture has kind of made it a different definition than what it is. But the word meditate here simply means to study, to think about, to read and pray to God, to our God. So don't let that word scare you. It's in Scripture. Don't let our culture's connotation of that word take away from what it actually means here in Psalms. But based on that, it's a day. I want to focus on the last couple words there. He meditates day and night. Day and night, day and night. It's continuing. It's continuing because he thinks and prays about God's law and God's word day and night. That's how he walks not in the counsel of the wicked and stands in the way of sinners and sits in the seat of scoffers. Because he is persevering, continuing the process day and night, day and night. It's part of our process of sanctification. So you guys don't know what sanctification is. It's the continual process of us laying out ourselves, taking away from ourselves, our worldly self, and continue to lay down our sins and grow closer and closer to Christ. Continually growing closer. And that is part of the process, is persevering with God's Word. This world is filled with many trials, many temptations. It's extremely easy to fall into them. It's extremely easy. Easy to make it look great on the outside, like the two houses built on the sand and built on the rocks. Yet the only way to withstand them is to act upon God's word. Because the answer to it all is in God's Word. The trials you face, you know, it's in God's Word how to handle them. That doesn't necessarily mean the trial's going to be better in all sunshine and greatness, but how to handle it according to God's will is in His Word, and we must act upon it, not just know it. How to handle temptation in God's Word. Act upon it. You know, that's why we're going to go back in 2 Timothy 2, 3:16 again. It simply says in there, if I should have bookmarked that in my Bible, that all Scriptures breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God can be competent, equipped for every good work. Again, you don't need just the knowledge of it. You need to apply it to have that, to have those results. The world is filled with many trials, temptations. So easy to fall into them. So easy to get swept up in this world. We must persevere in God, in applying God's Word into our life to do it. So we've seen here a few things. Seeing what a hearer and doer of the Word is. How we want to be doers. That's our aim. That's what we need to be striving for in this life. We've seen the consequences of not doing so, and we've seen how we tend to make that transition to becoming a doer of God's Word. Now, other than these consequences, the thing we need to ask ourselves now is, why? Why does it matter? What's the big deal? Why can't I just sit here in contentment with just gaining this knowledge and not placing it into my life? And James kind of answers that in the last few words. Few words that have a lot greater meaning than just a few words. And says, be no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all of his doing. We see this again in Psalms, in the Psalms passage we went on. It starts saying, blessed is the man who does this. Even says it again in Matthew, the passage we went through. It says, great is the fall. Everyone who is a hearer of the word and doer will be like a wise man. So that's why. So what does this blessing mean? This blessing, what is it? You know, it's not this material blessing. It's not, I lived out God's word. There's that new car in the driveway I wanted. There's the new promotion at work I wanted. There's that new reputation I wanted. It's not the kind of blessing we're talking about. However, the blessing may not be material, but it's something that should be the goal blessing of a Christian. Is the blessing is one, you know, as becoming a follower of Christ, to be joined with Christ forever and eternity, but also, God will use us. God will use us to bring glory to Him, His name, when we are actively doing the Word. Because I firmly believe God is sovereign. I firmly believe that because of what I've read and studied in this book. And so, if you're not actively living out God's Word, it's not going to stop His plan. It's not going to stop what God wants to get done. God is sovereign. However, the biggest blessing as a Christian that we should be continually striving for is the fact that God has given us the privilege of being used by Him, being part of this plan, being part of this glory. Not the other way around. You know, we are dependent on God. God is not dependent on us. However, when we truly live out His Word, we'll be blessed by being able to be used by Him for His glory. Being able to draw closer to Him, have a closer relationship with Christ as we continue this process of sanctification, which is an ongoing process, by the way. You know, this thing of studying God's Word and persevering, you know, that those go hand in hand. It's an ongoing thing. It never ends. But that's the blessing we search for. And here we are. You know, we need to remember, here we are in probably, arguably, one of the places on this earth where the Bible is the most accessible for us to read. It's the most available to us. There's places that are begging, just have a tiny piece of it in their language, in their translation. That's why we heard a few weeks ago, the ministry the Tallmans have in Papua New Guinea. You know, people are, they're translating it because people want just a tiny, at least a tiny bit in their language. There's people in other countries that would love to have Christians in followers of Christ in other countries, I would love to have the Bible. However, they must read it in secrecy, or they don't have it because of the oppression of their culture and their government. But yet, here we are. And again, the country, one of the countries of the world, where arguably the Bible is one of the most accessible to us, and we only go halfway. We stop ourselves at being a hearer of the Word. We think it's enough. But as we saw earlier, the only proper way to view Scripture is by being both a hearer of the Word and a doer of it. Because without that, it's a storybook. It's a cool story that gives you inspiration without that. It makes you feel good. Well, regardless, let me clarify that, regardless of whether you treat it like one, it's not a storybook. However, I should say, we view it like a storybook if we're not actively pursuing it and living it out in our lives. Because once again, Scripture is not there to give us some warm, fuzzy feeling inside of ourselves to make us feel like we're doing our job. But Scripture is there to help better ourselves, to bring us closer to Christ, to glorify Him. When you look into it, the purpose that God gave us His Word is so He can be glorified, so we can serve Him. Going back to the story I told you guys at the beginning, my two friends that ran the marathon. You know, one, they both did all the research. They both had all the head knowledge and studied what they needed to study. Only one placed it in the practice in their life. And as our group of friends, we kind of stood there about the second mile marker, ready to cheer them on, you know, ready to toss them a water bottle. And they both seemed to be doing great. Both seemed to be keeping up and doing well, to the point we were kind of joking amongst ourselves after they passed by. Man, maybe the first guy, maybe he got it all right. You know, he seems like he's doing just as good as the other guy. He didn't even train. He didn't really even do anything to prepare. So we were even questioning ourselves, thinking maybe he was the right one. But then after that, we decided we'd make our way through the crowds, through the thousands of people on the subway, to go towards the finish line. So in a couple hours, we could watch them finish. We see our friend who did prepare. We see him cross the finish line. He made greater time than he even thought he would. He ended up qualifying for the more prestigious Boston Marathon. And we asked him where our other friend was. We're like, what happened to him? Where is he? Is he right behind you? He's like, no, he kept up for a while. He kept up till about mile 10. And he slowly started falling behind and falling behind and falling behind. And he ended up walking as his run turned into a jog, which turned into a slower pace, which eventually turned into walking. And he walked the last 5 miles of the race because he didn't prepare. He knew what he had to do. He was given the tools to know how. He did the research with the best intentions. He truly had the best intentions of living it out, which sometimes we do in our lives. We have the best intentions of applying into our life, but this gap between the intentions and the action, something's missing in between there. So he was able to keep up for a while, but eventually the facade of running the marathon kind of faded away and realized that he was not equipped for it because he never placed it into action. We want to be Christians who are truly taking the Word of God for what it is, valuing it for what it is, reading it with application, prayerfully applying every aspect into our lives so we can better serve God, so we can better serve our Savior. We're only doing half the job if we solely just hear the Word. So we need to truly think to ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we just sitting in church? Are we just reading a book that makes us feel good about ourselves or makes us feel bad about ourselves, depending on which way you're reading it? Or are we taking that, taking it as for what it is, as we read in 2 Timothy, the living, breathing Word of God that's used for us to serve Him and applying into our lives? And what are we going to do to change that? Or what are we going to do to better that, even if you are applying it? How are you going to continue to apply it? How are you going to persevere? How are you going to remember it? So we're just going to go ahead and pray. And then I think we'll move on. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity for me to share your word, Lord. I pray that nothing I spoke was of myself, but it was solely you speaking through me, Lord. And I pray as we go out together as the body of Christ, we truly remember that this is not a storybook, but it's your word that you have given of us to glorify you, Lord. Let us glorify you in our lives. Let us hold each other accountable in order to do so. And let us come together next week as the body of Christ, eager to learn more, and eager to search your word more for how we can apply it into our lives. In your holy and precious name, amen.